local, dependable.
And now it's time for your daily pet talk on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Pensacola's expert panel with Meg. It's 9 o'clock on a Tuesday. You know what that means. It's time for the Garden Line with Mike Wiggins. We were saying let's play something fun this morning.
Oh yeah, and I'll tell you, we have a listener, no names, thank you, who is now very happy that we played that song.
And this is the original version. There's been several since, but this is Maurice Williams and the Zodiacs.
Williams and the Zodiacs, exactly.
I'm not sure the
Jackson
year.
Brown is the other one that does it.
I love his concert version.
Oh,
yeah.
I do too.
That's awesome.
I really do. But anyway, we made somebody happy already.
All right. You know who you are. We love you.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, Meg, the heat is back. Well, the heat, I don't think, ever really went anywhere.
I had hope for a little while there with all that rain. It did cool off a bit.
I did too, just for a few days. But, I mean, it is just brutal out there. It really is. And we continue to say it on the Garden Line. Just everyone be careful. Try not to get out there in the middle of the day and do some of that cleaning up the flower beds that needs to be done and some pruning that needs to be done and just mowing the lawn.
Oh, you'd work up a sweat because we're in that 100-degree heat index thing again.
Oh, we are.
Yeah.
Triple digits, exactly. Yeah. I never pay much attention to that heat index.
I don't know. I feel it, though, when I get out
you
there.
You know, but I just look at the real temperature. But you get to the mid-90s, it's hot.
Yes, sir.
There's no doubt about it. But the heat is back. The hummingbirds are back.
That I saw several people posted. Did you have yours?
Oh, yes.
Really?
Oh, yeah, they're back. No doubt about that.
How many have you seen?
Oh, every day there's some.
Really?
Oh, yeah, and I don't know why. Why it took so long.
Very late in the
season.
And
maybe my memory isn't what it should be. Maybe it took just the same amount of time last year.
Well, mid to late August?
I thought they came sooner last year. But, boy, they're back this year.
Oh, yes, good. Sir. Okay, I feel better now.
It's like a bunch of blue angels flying over your head in my backyard.
Oh, exactly. We even have to bring some pictures of some video in.
Oh, yeah, that would be fun.
Yeah, I'd love to see
fun.
That.
Yeah, we can show it on the radio.
There you go. Or Facebook page. I mean, we could throw it out
exactly.
there.
Exactly. Now, I did want to mention one thing. This is just a personal note. Talking about mowing the lawn.
Mm-hmm.
And as I've talked about, I try to get out there early, like 6:30 or 7 o'clock. To do it, and the last 4 or 5 times I've done it, all the little dingy little moths just fly up as I mow the lawn, which means that possibly I will, or whoever that happens to, is going to get sod webworms. The reason I bring that up is when I mowed it Saturday, not one moth.
Really?
Now, in past years, we have had a real epidemic of sod webworms. I never forget back in our old business, people would bring in samples of sod to say, you know, what's going on with this? It's dying. And you could diagnose it from 50 feet away.
Yeah.
It's so easy to diagnose because you've got a turf that's turning brown and you've got a few little sprigs of grass in the middle of it that all have notches in it. Where those little varmints have chewed at it.
And, varmints.
Exactly. So, but I'm hoping that the lack of moths that I saw on Saturday, I guess it was, is an indication that maybe we're going to get through this year and the St. Augustine is not going to be affected. That may be a lot of wishing and hoping.
Well, you know, hopefully they're not doing what the hummingbirds
I'll tell
did.
You. Oh, exactly.
They're waiting around.
And waiting.
Just to fool you.
In September, everybody's going to get them, right? No.
No.
Say it in the so. But anyway, be ready because those sod webworms, if you should get them, of course, we've always said on the Garden Line, they are not hard to control, a little granular or liquid insecticide generally will take care of it, and that grass will come back. It's when we have the chinch bugs that that grass sometimes will not come back. But both of those insects need to be controlled, or they will just get, spots will get bigger and bigger and bigger. So,
if you do see them now, what's the best thing to do?
If you see it, if you see them right now, the chinch bugs or the side webworm, treat them. I mean, quick. Buy you some a bag of granular. Spectracide makes a good one. Lawn insect control, or some liquid. You mix it up and put it in your little sprayer, your little pump-up sprayer, or your hose attachment sprayer, for that matter, and just spray them. And I've always said we always use our philosophy of not using spray where we don't need them. If you've got those spots out near the street, there's absolutely no reason to spray in the backyard.
Right.
It's some integrated pest management means let's only treat where we have to, but do treat, because we don't want to lose that lawn. We really don't. So, yes, so pay a lot of attention to that.
Oh, I have an interesting question that just came in and said, I don't know where they're coming from, but I seem to have an invasion of gnats or fruit flies. What is that?
Well, the, you know.
and I've had that before, too.
I think, you know, I agree with that.
That's so strange.
Especially the gnats.
Yeah, what is that?
I don't
where
know.
Do they come? I think of bananas. You know, bananas have the little things.
Okay, I'm going to guess. Okay, thank you. This is a guess. But with all the rain we have, you know, the thunderstorms in the afternoon, you know, a lot of ground is soggy. There may be some standing water on your property, which I think would be an environment that the gnats would like that to, in order to reproduce and become a pest. Not much you can do. But the standing water is something you can control, and that's where the mosquito control comes in. I've got an area where I have some pots that I use some seasons, some I don't, and I constantly have to check it because those pots are sitting back out of sight generally.
Sure.
But if they start collecting water, then
it's like a breeding ground, isn't it?
Exactly. It's a breeding ground for mosquitoes, and of course they can be, you know, such a pest.
Yeah.
No doubt about it.
You make your life miserable pretty quick if you want to sit outside.
Oh, sure. No question. One thing we may want to talk about, the last couple of weeks, we've talked about some of the things we need to do as we approach fall.
Okay.
And when I say fall, I say September, October, November, in that range. And one thing that was on a lot of people's minds are the weed killer.
Mm-hmm.
What should we do in order to control weeds during the rest of 2025? And so before, we're going to take a little break in a second, but when we come back, and maybe during the show, I have a few notes that I got from the state.
Oh, good.
About, one, which weeds are the biggest problem, what chemicals should we use to control them, and some general tips on weed control.
Great.
Because the first thing we need to do from weed control is, if you've got weeds, now, once again, if you don't have them, don't even, well, do listen to us.
Just don't worry about it.
Just don't do it. But there is the first thing is the post-emergence, which kills weeds that are there.
Mm-hmm.
They're looking up at you, and ones that you need to kill that way. Following that, in November, we talked about the pre-emergence to put out to keep future weeds. But this post-emergence, what we need to do pretty soon, as soon as the temperatures moderate, we need to talk a little bit about that this morning.
Okay. You are listening to The Garden Line on Pep Talk with Mike Wiggins, our expert on gardening. So if you have a question, this is the time to text it in. We're going to be here for a whole hour or so. If you have time to send your questions in at 850-437-1620, 850-437-1620. Get your pens and notebooks out now because Mike's going to have some tips for you on how to get ready for fall right here on Pep Talk and The Garden Line. We'll be back in just a couple minutes. Good morning. This is The Garden Line on Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel. If you've got a question for Mike Wiggins, our garden expert, text it in at 850-437-1620. Mike, we got a text already about weeds. Are you ready?
Go for it.
All right.
Let's do it.
Good morning. What do I use on Virginia Buttonweed. Virginia, thanks for your help.
Virginia buttonweed is a weed. I think we're talking about the same one that has a little white blossom on it.
Don't look at me.
And it's very difficult, very difficult to control.
Okay.
I was going to say one thing about that today. I'm trying to see where I had my deal. Here I am. First of all, I'm going to answer the question by kind of going back a little bit. This thing from the thing, this correspondence from the state.
Yes.
Listed some of our major weeds in Pensacola.
Oh, good. Okay.
Okay. I've got five of them. Okay. I'm going to add one.
All right.
Crabgrass. We all know what
that.
And that's a grassy weed. It's not a broadleaf weed. Dollar weed. Some people might call it pennywort. It's another name for it. That's a, you know, well, it's what it said. It looks like a silver dollar sitting there. Some people call that a silver dollar plant, as a matter of fact. Nutsedge, which is a tough, tough weed. Nutsedge is a stocky little weed that grows up. And if you don't know what it is exactly and you see that thing growing, if you'll get it and rub the stem between your fingers, it's triangular in shape.
Huh.
That means it's a sedge. Sedges are a problem all over the world. Florida betony, you know what another name for that one? We talked about that one time. That's rattlesnake weed.
Oh,
because you
sure
dig it up and the root looks like a rattler.
Hmm.
And then a chickweed, which is kind of a mat forming little small leaf on it. That it's a winter annual that shouldn't give you much trouble.
I wish we had video because right now, as he talks about each weed, Mike is gesturing what they look like.
I know. I'm trying to draw
he's
it.
He's talking with his hands. I love it. I wish I could see it.
Exactly. But Virginia buttonweed is a tough one also.
Okay.
Okay. So what do you do to control weeds? This is what the folks from the state are saying. And I'm going to go to Virginia buttonweed first.
Okay.
That was what the folks who texted us in. Back in the day, Virginia buttonweed was a problem. And we had always trying to find chemicals that would control it. Well, Fertilome makes one called Weed Free Zone. It is a weed killer that is labeled for the grasses we have here in Pensacola. And it also contains a chemical called carfenazone. That's probably more than you want to know.
Carfenazone.
But
okay.
On the label, it also controls Virginia buttonweed.
Huh.
So that is the problem. Weed Free Zone by Fertilome. You could probably find it, to some of your dealers. But that's one of them. That's Weed Free Zone by Fertilome. Also, another one is atrazine. Remember, we've talked about atrazine, which was always, to me, kind of the poster child for pre-emergence, the one we use in November and February. Well, atrazine also has a property that helps control existing weeds. So it kind of has a post and pre-emergence activity. It's used all over the state of Florida, and it really is good. I would consider using one of these others for your post-emergence. We're going to talk about most of them in just a minute.
Mm-hmm.
And use the atrazine in November, mainly as a pre-emergence. And when you're spraying it, that would kind of, for lack of a better word, kind of clean up some of those that are already there that escaped the post-emergence you put
on. And you
on
talked
it.
About this before, mm-hmm. for maybe somebody that's new. What is the method when you decide you have an area that has a problem, you found the right chemical to use on it? So then what do you follow the directions? Is that the simple answer? Or is there a method of mornings, afternoons, evenings, too much, too little? How do you know how to do it?
Oh,
for somebody that doesn't know anything about it.
There are a lot of rules.
Right.
There are a lot of rules. And the first one, of course, is to read the label. First of all, just sent us a text wanting to know what would control
Virginia
buttonweed.
Right.
And the weed-free zone, also there's one called Celsius,
mm-hmm.
which would control Virginia buttonweed. But read the label, because I did read a label the other day on one I was interested in. I wanted to learn more about. And the label went on and on and on and on about how to mix it, how to do this, how to do that.
That's a fine print.
And the fine print. And it said it would control weeds and centipedes, zoysia, and St. Augustine. I said, well, that's just exactly what I'm looking for. Until you saw a little asterisk. And down at the very bottom of the label said, do not use on Floratam, St. Augustine, grass.
Oh, my.
And so you read that and you say, okay, you know, I'll be honest with you, I'm not going to use it on any St. Augustine grass.
Right.
Because if it'll damage Floritam, it must be real close to damaging Bitter Blue or Raleigh or any of these other St. Augustines that we use here in Pensacola. So that's the number one rule. You've got to read the label. That's mandatory. Because it not only has how to mix it and all of that, but it also has safety precautions,
mm-hmm.
Whether what you should wear,
right,
if you're putting this stuff out. Then get you a good sprayer. A lot of people use a pump-up sprayer. Pump-up sprayer is like a 1 gallon of water.
Mm-hmm.
And if one of the recommendations is 1 ounce per gallon of water, obviously you put 1 ounce into that gallon sprayer, fill it with water, and go out and just spray the weed. When to do it? I would do it probably early in the morning. I think that's probably the time to do it. But the secret is kind of determine what weeds you're going after,
mm-hmm.
what chemical is going to control them, how to mix it, when to spray it, and do all of that. We're going to have to take a break here.
Yep, we sure are. But it's all good.
But I've got one other recommendation insofar as all of those rules are concerned.
So informative. Mike always has so many of the answers for us who have dabbling in gardening and for our gardening experts that listen as well. If you've got a question this morning for the Garden Line, 850-437-1620. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Pep Talk and the Garden Line. You're listening to Garden Line with Mike Wiggins, and he is here helping us keep our gardens and our lawns looking beautiful right here in Pensacola. If you've got a question, 850-437-1620, talking about weeds and pests and some of the issues that we have.
It's a fascinating topic, but we have to deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
Another one I like, and we've always talked about this one, is Trimec. Trimec is kind of the standard post-emergence weed controller. But they also, if you look hard, maybe check the internet or check with your local garden center, there is a product with Trimec in it, if you got dollar weed, for example, and also carfenazone is in it,
hey,
which is our Virginia buttonweed killer. Absolutely. Okay, moving on. Image is a good one. That's the one for that nut sedge.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a good for dollar weed too, but that's a post-emergence one you might consider. So that's the best list. That's the list. But what I always say, you know, when we say what do we do about weed control, we do have to identify the weed, identify the product, how to mix it, and all that. What you may want to consider, and you got to understand, I'm a little biased here because I was in that business for years. A good lawn spray service can do all of those things for you. A lot of people don't want to mix chemicals. I don't blame them,
mm-hmm.
you know, because these are pretty potent materials. And so a good, you know, ask around, find out somebody you like, get an applicator who works for that company that you really trust and get along with. And I think you'll find that you'll really, really have probably better weed control because they can identify all of these things. They know what to use. They know how to mix it. And generally, depending on the one you choose, they'll come back,
mm-hmm.
at no charge if whatever they did didn't solve the problem or if
the problem
reappears. So find one you like,
yeah.
and try that because, you know, that way you don't have to mix it. Now, a lot of folks listening on the Garden Line do it to themselves, and that's great. I mean, I do that myself. But that's another option.
Mm-hmm. Well, moderation really isn't in my vocabulary, so I always think more is better. So my biggest fear is that I'm going to kill what I don't want to kill.
Exactly.
That I'm going to be putting too much on in the wrong places.
Right.
So maybe this is a better idea for me to hire someone to do it for me.
I'm so glad you mentioned that because I was going to mention that too. Here are some of the things, some tips.
Okay.
On them. One, identify the weeds,
mm-hmm.
and that's not easy. That's not easy because these weeds are, you know, get you a nice book.
Right.
Get on the internet, but it's not easy to identify weeds sometimes. And here's the one for you. Follow those label instructions. You know, we've always said if a tablespoonful per gallon is what's on the label, 2 tablespoonfuls per gallon could be the end of your lawn.
See, in my mind, then 2 should be better.
Exactly. I've always said it's kind of like playing poker. You know,
yes. Not,
you can't double up to catch up.
That's exactly right. Okay, well, we'll have poker tips next. Just kidding. This is the Garden Line on Pep Talk. We've got plenty of time for your questions. We're going to take a break for the news here. 850-437-1620. Text them in to us. We'd love to answer your questions this morning. This is the Garden Line on Pep Talk, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. We'll be back right after the news. Good Tuesday morning to you. Welcome back to the Garden Line on Pep Talk. Mike Wiggins is here answering all your questions. Been talking a lot this morning about pest control and weed control. And Mike, we got another question in on the text line. So if you have a question about your garden, your lawn, or even your house plants, text it in at 850-437-1620. This one is, what is the best weed killer to kill chamber bitter without harming centipede?
Well, and that's a good question. And that kind of goes along with what we've been talking about. To kill that chamber bitter, you might, well, a couple of things, and this is going to sound kind of silly, but that chamber bitter probably is going to be knocked back by cold weather.
Mm-hmm.
So what the major thing you need to do, in my opinion, is use the pre-emergence in November. The atrazine we just talked about is a great choice for that. And you can go ahead and use that, like I say, in November, then repeat it in February. And that will generally help. Now, if you really want to get at it, using some of the Trimec, and when the temperatures moderate, probably early October, when we get into, say, it's no warmer than 80 degrees in the during the day, and maybe in the 50s or 60s at night, and go ahead and do that. So you could kind of double shot it, hit the Trimec first, and then come back with that atrazine. And because you've got to control those seeds that are on that chamber bitter. And that's what they would do. The atrazine is mainly what will help with that.
Okay.
So that's what I would do.
All right, great question. I got another one for you.
Go for it.
Okay. When preparing carpet spray, in quotations, an area with concentrated Roundup, is using more chemical per gallon of water okay, better, worse?
Worse.
Worse. Okay, worse. We were just talking about that,
I think. Don't do it. Roundup is a strong, it's not a post-emergence or a pre-emergence. It is what they call a non-selective herbicide, which means it kills everything.
Oh,
mainly grassy plants. It doesn't do too good on woody. Like if you have oak, little oak stems coming out of the ground, it's not going to do much for that. But yeah, it's used to clear an area.
Okay.
And it's really good because you spray it and if you ask me the best time to do it, I'd say this afternoon, because the hotter the weather, the better.
Really?
Absolutely. Okay. And then keep it dry. Keep it dry because it'll work almost overnight. You'll watch these weeds kind of start wilting. But don't violate that label. What the label says on that Roundup will work. Putting more on it, I would not recommend that at all, not to be overly dramatic, but I'd say that could even be dangerous.
Oh, okay.
I just wouldn't do it. Now, a couple of tips to don't do it when it's windy because that mist from that Roundup can kind of waft over to your azaleas,
right.
Your pretty annuals, and it's all over for them if you get that Roundup on them.
With something that potent, Mike, should you be wearing a mask or some gloves or something when you're doing that?
You know what I do when I use Roundup?
Mm-hmm.
I wear safety glasses,
oh.
And I wear one of my old masks we had during COVID.
Yeah.
And a long sleeve shirt, long pants, socks, shoes. And I have an old pair of running shoes.
Oh.
That I call them my Roundup shoes. Because, because as you spray, you could easily get it on your feet before you get it anywhere else. And you just don't want to get it on your good shoes.
Well, you probably don't want to track it into the house either.
Oh, absolutely not.
Take your shoes off.
Absolutely not. That's right. Exactly right. So that is a very potent material. I think most people realize that Roundup, of course, has had its legal problems.
Mm-hmm.
That's when the major ingredient was glyphosate. Well, most of the Roundup you buy from your garden center now, it looks like the exact same bottle. It does the exact same thing, but it's not glyphosate anymore. It's another chemical that they have put in that.
It's a little safer.
a little safer, we hope,
right,
as long as you do what the label says.
Okay,
absolutely.
Great question. If you've got a question, yes, for Mike, text it in this morning. We've got plenty of time, 850-437-1620.
Right, and here we go. A couple of mistakes,
yes,
you can make when you're doing these weed killers.
I might be an expert on these, but
okay,
go ahead.
All right,
this is where my expertise comes in.
All right, here we go. This first one is one of those, why did I even write this? If you're trying to do post-emergent, you know, kill dollar weed,
right,
in your yard, you might, don't grab the wrong jar and put non-selective herbicides in the sprayer. Be careful,
oops,
what you use. I mean, come on. I think we all know that.
You see, but you say that, but I'm not one of those people. I would be like, "Wait, oh, this looks good. I'll go spray this."
Exactly. Color on that jar. So
that's
pretty.
Right. Yeah. It's a pretty color.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Incorrect application timing.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Using the atrazine right now, it's too hot. You don't want to do it.
Oh, okay.
You want to use it in mainly November and December. Improper mixing and overapplication, we talked about that.
Mm-hmm.
You just don't want to do that. Environmentally friendly alternatives. And here are a couple that I've never used them. I've never used these. But corn gluten meal,
ooh,
has always been sort of in the background of weed control. It's organic, of course.
Huh.
And they say it will help. And that's key words, help, not work 100%. To eradicate some weeds, and it's very, very slow acting.
Interesting.
Right, and the other one, I've heard all these ads on radio about this, the vinegar-based herbicides.
Huh.
Matter of fact, a lot of them, they're now marketing these vinegar-based weed killers because they work. They work.
Interesting.
I think they, too, are probably slow. I'm just, mm-hmm, I've never used them, so that's probably, but the state here and their literature says those two are probably best for spot treatments. In other words, you've got this gorgeous St. Augustine lawn, and you've got about, 25 square feet over here of,
mm-hmm,
dollar weed. Just, get your vinegar out there and go at it.
Interesting.
I would think doing vinegar for your whole yard would be...
It's probably cheaper. Certainly cheaper, less expensive.
I don't know how much vinegar costs.
Well, that's true. I've been priced it recently, but okay. I was just thinking maybe.
Exactly. Okay. And this is a good one. Pet safety guidelines.
Mm.
Always adhere to the waiting periods before allowing pets back onto treated lawns. Typically, and this is not all the time, between 24 and 48 hours, I would lean towards the 48 hours. It's got, whatever you put on there has got to dry,
mm-hmm,
and wait 2 days before,
okay,
you let your pet on there. But that's where you've got to make your own judgment, because I know everybody just don't want those dogs and cats to get into that chemical stuff. But it's got to be dry, and the stages here is recommending 48 hours. I think that's pretty good, but... just
be careful.
Maybe make it 3 or 4 days just to be sure.
Mm-hmm.
Just to be sure. Okay, that's sort of our weed control
now,
topic
for the
day. Now,
where are you referring to the state as being the source of your information? If somebody wanted to look up some of the things you just talked about, where would they go?
Here's what I would do. You can Google, IFAS,
mm-hmm,
Institute of Food and Agricultural Services.
IFAS?
IFAS.
Okay.
And that will take you to a lot of this stuff. Talk to the county agent. Talk to Beth Bowles and her people up at Escambia County Extension Service. They are an unbelievable source of information, and that's our Escambia County taxpayer money at work up there. We pay for that.
Okay.
We pay for that. And Beth is so good.
Mm-hmm.
And even if in Santa Rosa County, they've got great people. And remember, we always have the guy that over in Calhoun County who we like just because we like his writing.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a lot of sources. But of course, as we all know, the internet is just full of that stuff. Go Google, and I did this just the other day just to see what they said. Google weed control in St. Augustine lawns in Florida.
Okay. That's very specific.
You'll spend the rest of the day reading.
There you go.
I'll tell you right now.
But it's easier if you just listen to The Garden Line.
There you go.
We
there
got
you
Mike
go.
Wiggins as your
there
expert, you does go. All the research
and
for
we
you.
We appreciate you listening, too.
So if you have a question, 850-437-1620. Mike, we got to take another quick break, but
Let's
we'll
be it.
Back in just a few minutes.
Very good.
Good morning. This is The Garden Line on Pep Talk on News Radio 92.3. Welcome back. If you've got a question for Mike, a few minutes left here at 850-437-1620. All right, we're going down our list. Pest control, weed control. You should see the preparation this fella has for this show. Got
all kinds
of papers and notes.
Wait, all these notes go back years.
I tell
you. And I kind of have them divided.
You really should write a book.
I'm serious. I just admire people who do write books. I wish I could, but a lot of my stuff is by season.
True. Then we're kind of in between now,
aren't
we?
I don't think our listeners are ready to get into Christmas trees yet. But in this, I've got some.
You never know.
Some of us are planners,
but you know.
Exactly. You know what we ought to do, Meg? Since we don't have much time left, maybe we need to kind of lightning round a few of the things for fall.
Okay.
And we spent a lot of time on weed control, so we'll put that one aside.
Okay.
This is the one we talked about last week, but it's important, not only for fall, but for hurricane season, and that's mulching your flower beds. Pine straw, cypress mulch, pine bark. We even talked about rocks, which is not my favorite, especially if you have small children. Putting rocks in your flower bed, end up with broken windows.
Portent of disaster.
Exactly. But seriously, the mulch is going to do two things. One, you mulch your plants, it's going to protect it from the cold.
Mm-hmm.
And also, it's going to help with stormwater control if we just get one of these, you know, in tropical action, or even just a huge, you know, 5, 6, 7 inches of rain, all that dirt, since it's not mulch, will wash into the gutter and eventually into the stormwater system. So mulching is so important. I mean, it's not fun. It's not very sexy to talk about, but it needs to be done.
Where's the best place to find it? What are some of the options?
Well, all your big box stores generally have it. I know out at Pensacola Seed and Garden, he has a big old semi-truck there full of pine straw. And there's a new one out there. I saw it. I can't remember the name. Lucky's Pine Straw.
Oh.
It's right there on Davis.
Okay.
Anyway, very interesting place they had. And these folks, I talked to them about it. They said they'll deliver it and they'll install it for you.
Oh, even better.
Well, you pay for that.
I know. But
you pay for that. But they have it. And pine straw still is my favorite.
Mm-hmm.
But, of course, you can always, as I say, go somewhere, go to your neighborhood school or golf course or whatever and rake it up yourself.
So I know very little about gardening, but when you put the pine straw down, do you need to at some point like wet it or so that it doesn't blow away when you start getting
it's gonna hold its own. Well, what I like to do, one disadvantage to pine straw is that you put it in a bed and you're right, when it rains or you even water the bed, sometime it'll sort of kind of start moving out a little bit, and it makes that bed look a little unkempt.
Yes. Maybe
and so what you need to do is when you put it in there, I'm using my hands to tell you how to do it. Just tuck it under.
Okay.
But I hear something very interesting, and I've never done it, and all I know is talking to the guy about it at Lucky's Pine Straw. He said, we have a chemical that you put the pine straw down, and you spray the chemical on top of the pine straw.
See, I knew there was something.
And it doesn't move.
See there?
See, you were way ahead of the game.
These are the people who give you that recipe, and they leave out that one ingredient. And you make the cake, and it just doesn't stay. It just doesn't taste quite right.
That's right.
And they say, well, I gave you the recipe. Did you follow it all the way? Yes, I did. So here I find out by asking that question that there's a secret to pine straw. Because every time I put pine straw, it blows all over the place.
And Mr. Lucky's got it.
Gosh.
I'm going to find out more about that.
You better, because
I'm
on a tear.
You got me.
Secret people.
America's going to hit the streets.
I got the secrets.
Exactly. Oh. So anyway.
Here you go. Someone just texted in. Have you ever used the mulch glue?
Maybe that's what this guy was talking about.
Okay.
No, I have not. I'd like to know more about that. Is it a liquid you put on there? It must be. Obviously,
glue makes sense. A little Elmer's.
Yeah, well, a little Elmer's. You talk about expensive.
I know, I'm just kidding.
But, I mean, obviously some of these pine straw beds can be huge.
Yeah.
I mean, I've seen landscapes.
That's what I mean, because I've seen you get them, they look great the first week, and then the first wind that blows through starts.
Yeah, spreading it all around.
Yeah.
Yeah, some of my favorite landscaping was over on the neighborhood over on the bayou, and this home had all these little oak, and I say little, relatively small oak trees, mm-hmm. all in the yard,
mm-hmm.
you know, where landscape plants probably were not going to thrive. So they made total pine straw bed around the entire oak planting, tucked it under.
Nice.
And it really looked
nice. It's probably
nice.
Beautiful, yeah.
It really looked nice. And also, while we're talking pine straw, get good pine straw. Good, nice, light, I say light brown, but as opposed to some of the bales that you buy, no names mentioned, you open that bale and it's just gray,
mm-hmm.
but you just don't even
want
to.
I know exactly what you're talking
about. You don't even want to put it in your flower bed.
Mm-hmm.
So go find good pine straw. And look up Mr. Lucky, since we talked about him.
Okay. The person that had sent the question about, have you ever used the mulch glue, he or she says the liquid is sold at Lowe's.
Is that right? Okay. I've never seen it there.
Yeah. Interesting. Okay.
Time to
check it out.
To go do a little road trip and see what we can find out.
All right.
Yeah. Of course, what Meg's not telling you, she's in that business. That's why she asked that question. She's in the pine straw business.
Oh, please. You don't want me doing, trust me on this. I know what my limitations in life are. Gardening is one of them.
But I want to say thank you to the person that sent
yes,
that text.
That's so
that really kind of sent us in the right direction.
We'll look it up for next week.
Yeah, because I do.
We'll get our research department on that.
I do have this large oak tree that's right next to the street, and I do mulch it in pine straw.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, invariably, the first rain, you know, it's in the gutter. And it just looks unsightly. It looks like I don't care.
All right, we got to take a quick break here. You can keep those questions coming in at 850-437-1620. This is The Garden Line with Mike Wiggins on Pep Talk. Welcome back to The Garden Line with Mike Wiggins on Pep Talk. Just a few minutes left, Mike. We got to touch on a couple things
list. Well, just one thing. This is a repeat. I know we sound like a broken record, but late August, early September is the time for winter riser fertilizer.
Okay.
Okay, and Meg, this is a test.
Oh, dear, I knew it was coming.
This is a test. Mm-hmm. No, I'm not going to do this to you.
Okay.
I was going to ask you, what number in the fertilizer is the largest for a winterizer? The first, the second, or the third?
Third.
The third, see.
I did. I got it right.
I knew you'd get it.
Yes, the third.
10-5-14 is a great fertilizer. Now, we've talked about Fertilone products today, weed mm-hmm. control stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Fertilone makes a good 10-5-14 fertilizer for winterizer.
So is now the time to do that?
Yeah,
in the next week or two?
And really, I'm going to be honest with you, probably in the next 30 days would mm-hmm. be fine. But a lot of the experts are saying, let's do this latter part of August. I think if you do it in September, you're probably going to be fine too. So go ahead and get that done, 10-5-14, or any winterizer that has a large third number. All fertilizers have three numbers,
mm-hmm.
888, 15-015, 16-08, or 10-5-14. Don't buy a 10-5-14 with weed killer.
Oh, okay.
You don't want to do it because you start putting a weed killer on right now when it's 90 degrees, you might as well get out your blowtorch
because
it'll burn your yard.
Oh, no kidding.
Just don't do it. Just do your weed killing and your fertilizer separate. And that goes for the springtime also. Remember, we use our pre-emergence in February
right.
and then fertilize in April. So
keep
them separate.
All right. You can always listen to all this fabulous advice that Mike gave you today about pest control and weed control on our podcast. We post this broadcast right on our website at newsradio923.com. Click on podcast, click on Garden Expert Panel or Garden Line, and you can re-listen to it and take notes. Thanks, Mike, for being here.
Thank you, Meg.
Show.
You're the best, bud.